You can go ahead and turn there, or you can look up there, or we do have pew Bibles here if you would like to follow along. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. You see, this tells a story. It tells a story that happened after the manger, after the angels, and after the shepherds. It's the story of the Magi. You see, the Magi, they were foreigners. They were outsiders. And, you know, they traveled a great distance. They traveled this distance because they believed that somewhere in the world, God had done something worth seeking. You see, this is a story of a journey. I've entitled the message this morning, and we've entitled our program, actually, A Journey to the King. And the message is called The Journey That Changes Us. You see, it's a story of a journey that still speaks today, this journey that the Magi took. Well, the passage opens in Matthew chapter 2, in the first verse. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star where it rose and have come to worship him.'" You see, they saw a sign. They saw this clue. And that was enough for them to start this journey. That was enough to put them on the road, this journey to the king. The Magi did not have all the answers. They didn't know the scriptures as Israel did. And they didn't know exactly where Jesus would be found. They only knew that they had to go. So they traveled hundreds of miles. They traveled through the desert. They traveled through danger, uncertainty, and they did all of this. Why? Because their hearts were restless. Their hearts would stay restless until they found the one worth worshiping. You see, Christmas, it's the time of year, it reminds us that God still stirs our hearts today. It's hearts that sense there must be more than all the things the world has to offer. And especially during Christmas, so many times we get it messed up. You see, hearts that are searching for hope, hearts that are searching for peace, for forgiveness, for belonging, and for purpose. And some will sense it clearly. To some, that comes clearly. Sometimes there are people sitting even right here as the message of hope goes out. It begins to make sense and it's clear. But some, it doesn't make sense at all. For some, they hardly even know what they seek. But this restless heart is often the first gift that God gives. You see, it's God who calls. It's God who begins this work. And we merely need to respond to this, just as the Magi did. You see, it was that hunger in their heart that led them on this journey. And also, this hunger should be what leads us to Him. But you know, not everyone responds the same way to this news of Jesus. Let's continue to read. As the Magi arrive in Jerusalem, you know, they were probably expecting a big celebration. But instead, they find confusion and fear. Look at verse number 3. "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. In verse 6, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, and it came and until it came to the rest to the resting place over where the child was. You see, this news of Jesus, this news of the Messiah, this news of a king to be born in Bethlehem, it didn't sit well with everyone. Herod, he was threatened. The religious leaders, they were indifferent. Only the Magi were seeking. And it's striking to me that the scholars knew exactly what the scripture said. They were quick. They were quick to say, oh, Bethlehem of Judea, for so is written by the prophet, showing off their knowledge, right? Yet they never went. They were 5 miles from the place where Jesus was born. And they didn't even bother to make the journey. Herod, he feared that he was going to lose control because he heard about this king that was to be born. The leaders, they were uncomfortable. They knew something was up. They knew something was going to change. But the Magi, they were hungry. They were hungry for this truth. We have the same responses today. Some will reject Jesus out of fear. Out of fear of surrender. They don't want to surrender what they have. They don't want to give up their lifestyle. Some ignore him because the journey will disrupt their routine. It's not going to be comfortable. The walk in the desert, even if it's only a 5 mile walk, some are unwilling to even do that because it disrupts their routine. But others, like the Magi, we have an opportunity to respond as they did. What did they do? They followed the star. They followed the leading. They followed the light that they had been given. But you know, none of us are different. We're all confronted with the question. And the questions are, there's two. Which response will you have? Which response will I have? Which response is ours? Which response will we have? You see, God, he guides those who seek him. Just as the Magi had the star. You know, and after the Magi leave Herod, it says in verse number 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. You see, this Greek phrase here, it means exceedingly, abundantly, extremely great joy. And why do you think they had such joy? Because God had not forgotten them. Because the one that they sought was drawing them closer. And you know, God still guides today. It's not always with the star, but God leads us through scripture. God will lead us in our time of prayer. God will lead us when we're surrendered in worship. God will lead us through wise counsel. Sometimes the Lord even leads us through our circumstances. God allows things to come into our lives to lead us. Have you ever felt, or have you ever heard the still, have you ever felt the tugging, the small tugging of the Lord in your heart? Have you ever heard the still small voice? Because that, my friend, is the voice of the Lord. Many times we have to be in a quiet place, in a silent night, in a still place, so that we might hear his voice. Many times we're so overwhelmed with all of the things that are going on, the shopping, the parties. I'm still accepting invitations, by the way, to parties. All of these things around this time of year, I challenge you to take the time to hear that still and small voice of our Lord. I had one hidden back here. So the Lord, he still guides us today. My prayer is that all of us are looking for Christ in this season. Whether you know him certainly, like I do, or whether you're questioning, God, are you real? God, are you real in my life, in this circumstance, in this thing that I'm living through right now? Can you show yourself to me? Lord, are you real? If you pray those things and you look to him, God will show himself. He will reveal himself to you. God does not hide from one who is seeking. You know, he leads, he nudges, he draws. It is he who begins this good work in us who will be faithful to complete it. It's not of us. It's not of our works, lest any man can boast. It is of him. Point number four, true worship. It requires our best. In verse number 11, look to verse number 11. It says, and going into the house, you see, this is after the manger, when the Magi came and you know, sometimes we get a little confused because we think it was just three wise men. We don't know that for sure. The Bible does not say that. It says there are three gifts. And so there were at least three wise men, but there met possibly many more. But it says here in verse 11, and they go into the house and they saw this child with Mary, his mother. Get this. And they fell down and worshiped him. You see, this wasn't a normal baby. This was one who deserved worship. And true worship is evident here. They just fell down before him. Then it continues, then they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Oh, I just love this. I love this because you know what? Before they gave their gifts, they gave their hearts. Before they offered anything else physically to him, they offered the only thing that really matters, themselves. Before they opened up the boxes of treasure, they bowed their knees. And we'll see a little bit later, as our program continues, the three gifts that were brought. Of course, we know gold. They didn't bring him gold because they felt like he was poor. They brought him gold because it was a gift fit for a king. They knew that their journey was to this king. This was to be the King of Kings, not just an ordinary baby. And this gift represented that. The second gift of frankincense, it was a symbol of deity, of who he was. They were saying with this gift, you are God. Make no mistake about it. They knew who they were going to. They knew who they were worshiping. They knew. Frankincense, it represents worship. When we're worshiping, and it's not always in song, don't get me wrong, but when we're worshiping and the focus is off of us and on to the Lord, it is like a sweet aroma that goes up to God in heaven, and he finds pleasure in that. That's why in the Old Testament, there were so many times that they would offer up worship with incense and offer up prayers with incense, because this aroma would represent the worship of the one true God. And then finally, this gift of myrrh. They opened up this gift and they poured it out and unto this child, and this gift of myrrh happened to be a burial spice. It's what would be used in a ceremony of death when they would wrap up the body to be buried in the ground. They would put this myrrh, preserving kind of agent, it would smell, it would go in, it was a spice. This was pointing to the fact that Christ came to die. That the manger pointed to the cross. That the cross was about the grave, but we all know the story, it doesn't end there, right? Because he rose again. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is why we celebrate Christmas. That's what the nativity is all about. You see, he was born to die. He came and took our sins so that we might live. These gifts were costly. They were intentional. They were full of meaning. They represented who Christ is and what he would do. You see, because Christmas, it's an invitation, not just to admire Jesus from a distance, but to worship him up close. It's an opportunity for us to bow our hearts toward him. It's an opportunity for us to open up our lives to him. And it's an opportunity for us to give him our best. For some, that gift is trust. Maybe this might be the first time that you're hearing that God loves you, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin so that you could be reconciled back to him. This might be the first time that you've heard that. And if it is, all you have to do is trust him. Trust him. Maybe that's what your gift today is to the Christ, your trust. For others, it's obedience. What does that mean? Maybe you've been walking in disobedience. Maybe God is calling you to step up in a relationship. Maybe it's in your home. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe God is calling you out into something, into service of the King. Maybe he's calling you to go on a journey that begins today. All he is asking is for your obedience. For some, this morning the gift might be repentance. Maybe you're already headed out in a direction and God is telling you today, stop. Turn around. Go the other direction. That's the definition of repentance. If we're headed in the wrong direction and we get a message from God and we listen and we turn from our sin and we turn to him, that, my friend, is repentance. Maybe that's your gift to God today. Maybe God is calling you into a deeper place of love. What does that mean? Well, maybe, you know, the Bible tells us it's easy to love those who love us. And it's easy for us to put ourselves in a place where the people around us love us very much. But maybe God is calling you into a position or into a place where the people talk about you. Maybe the people don't really like you. Or maybe God is saying, deny yourself, take up his cross, show his love to someone else. Maybe that's your gift that you lay at the foot of Jesus today. Verse number 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. You see, they came one way, but they left another. That's how it can be the same today for us. We could have come in here carrying burdens. You know what? Lay them at the cross. You can walk out of here burden free. You can cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Maybe you came in here carrying your own sin. Put it down. You don't need to carry your sin. Give it to Jesus. Turn your sin over to Jesus. You don't need to carry that anymore. You can't carry it. There's nothing you can do with it, and it doesn't look good on you. Give it up. Turn it over to Jesus. So maybe the gift you have to give to God this morning is that repentance. Maybe you want to turn from your sin and you want to turn to him. You see, because that's what happens when one truly meets Christ. I promise you, those magi were never the same after that day when they met the Christ. They were changed. It's the same with us. When we have an encounter with Jesus, God in flesh, we will never be the same, because when you understand that his life and his sacrifice for you took all of your sin and gave you a new life, anytime from that point forward, you never have to be burdened by those things again. You simply need to remember who you belong to and who Jesus is and who we are. We cannot return to the old patterns. We should run away from our old sins, our old ways of thinking, our old fears, and our old priorities. You see, Jesus, he changes our path. Because he changes our hearts. So this Christmas, some of us need exactly that. We need to go home a new way. A way of forgiveness instead of bitterness. A way of peace instead of anxiety. A way of trust instead of fear. A way of worship instead of self-reliance, and a way of hope instead of despair.
We three.